This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
So yeah, I'm Jason, married to Sam, as Claire said, and we used to run Westfields Vineyard Church, and for the last 4 years we've been working in spiritual formation. So we work as spiritual directors, I do leadership coaching as well, do retreats, get opportunities to come and speak to people, which is always lovely, and we also do debriefings for people too. And I was reflecting on the fact that the last time I was here, it was Palm Sunday. And I remember sitting somewhere over there. I remember Carl also leading the worship on that particular day. And as I was sitting there, I remember having this moment during worship where I really felt God say, I want you, and I was talking that day, you'd invited me to speak as well that day, which was really kind of you, and you invited me back, which is great, so thank you for that as well. And I remember sitting there and just feeling God say, I really want you to tell them about my love. And it was one of those moments where I think if I had been in my own church back in the day, I may have just thrown away my notes and just gone for something completely spontaneous, which would have either been brilliant or a complete roller coaster car crash. So I decided to be a good boy and stick to my notes. And if we're in church and we're speaking anyway, of course, we're always speaking about the love of God. But I was reminded of it. And so today I want to just use that as a thing to really focus on. And I want to just say to you that you are deeply loved. You are deeply, deeply loved. And if I was to say what is the kind of what's become the heart of the work that I do, it would be Paul's prayer in Ephesians. And I'd love to use this as a kind of a launching point this morning. And what I'd love to do is I'd love to actually pray this for you and over you this morning. So I'm in the Living Bible, Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 21. And I wonder if you're comfortable to, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, would you like to stand? And I'd just love to pray this over you. If you're more comfortable sitting, then please feel free to sit. But just would love to just pray this over you this morning. Because this is very much the essence of us wanting to know more and more that we are deeply loved by God. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep and how high his love really is, and to experience this love yourselves. Though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so at last you will be filled up with God himself. Now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes, may he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you. Have a seat, friends. So what I want to say to you this morning is very, very simple. I want to just talk about how that God is love, that God's love is personal and intimate for us, and that God's love is clearly demonstrated. And I hope that today this is something not just for your head, but it's for your heart, it's for your body, and it's hopefully another opportunity to encounter something of God's love, which will become more of your ongoing experience in God. And one of the journeys that Sam and I particularly have been on has been around a more contemplative form of spirituality, where at the heart of that is this idea of really wanting to kind of slow down and to notice and see where God is present, and the opportunity in that to always see there's more of God around us in sometimes even the smallest things. Now, when I say God is love, it's important to say that not that God has love, but that God is love. That God is love. Love is God's actual nature. God can't help but be loving towards us because it's who he is. An illustration of this you could think of might be the sun. the sun shines because it is. It just is. That's what it does. And this is who God is. God is not changeable. God is not performance-based. His love for us doesn't shift based upon what we're doing. It's always coming towards us. God doesn't decide to love you today. He is love towards you because of who he is. And I think if some of us have had those experiences where we've had people around us who perhaps their mood influences how they are towards us, this is something we can bring into our relationship with God. A more entertaining variation of that might be thinking about, and obviously this doesn't apply to anybody here, but you know, there's that one parent and then the other parent, you know, in that relationship that you have with your family, probably, or you as a parent now, you know, where the kids know which one to go to when they want to get their own way, because the other one, it's never for sure, because maybe the kind of mood they might actually be in, you know. That doesn't apply to any of you, does it? I didn't think that it did. No, that's very good. But it can be hard for somebody to say that God is love and to explain about God's nature if we've not experienced some of that in our own lives, or we've experienced people who are very transactional. And love can often seem and feel like it is conditional and transactional. And yet sometimes when you meet somebody who's been loved really well, they seem very able to love well themselves. And for some of us, there can be often a journey of healing that we need to go on with God to move to that space where we can accept more of his love for us, because we've struggled to be given love by other people. So what I'm saying again, friends, is very simple, that God is love. It's who he is. It's his very nature. He's not changeable. Again, he's not performance-based, and his love is always, always towards us. And God's love is personal. I don't know the last time that you had a chance to look at Psalm 139. I'd love to read some of it to you this morning, because it talks so much about how God's love for us is personal. And again, I'm just pulling some stuff out this morning from the Living Bible, because I just love their translations of this. In Psalm 139, it says this. It says, "Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest." Even if, and I'll just add some little comments as we go through this, even though sometimes we don't stop or we don't rest, God is always inviting us into those places. "Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it." And as I was looking at this again this morning, I underlined that bit because I felt that was something that somebody here would need to hear again this morning. "Every moment you know where I am." I don't know if any of you this morning are feeling you're not sure where you are. God says to you this morning, "I know where you are in every moment. You both proceed and follow me and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too gracious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me." "For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born, and scheduled each day of my life before it began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me." We are so known and so loved by God. Every single little piece of you has been put lovingly together by your heavenly Father. And every little detail of your life as well is known by God. Even if some of it, you look at it right now and say, "Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing. And if you haven't had that experience, at some point you will. I can say that to you as a midlife person, that you will at some point have that experience where you, Lord, what are you doing? What is happening? One of the fun little jokes that I sometimes make with people, which I heard from somebody else, was this idea that God has a picture of you in his wallet. A little bit cheesy maybe, but I quite like the idea of it. And if you think about yourself and think about how you're made, it can really lead you into places sometimes of worship as well. We were running a course Friday evening in our house, and an individual who was there was talking about how they've been reflecting on how they've been made and just the wonder of speech. And it was so lovely to hear this person talk about it, because they were just sitting there saying, isn't it amazing that we can talk? And they were having that little moment. You know, there's little moments in your life where something childlike just kind of kicks in and it's just wonderful for you. And you may be sharing it with a group of people and some of them looking at you like, well, of course we can talk. But I was listening to this person and I was hearing the voice of a child who was just so grateful for the love of God and experiencing something afresh. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful. And it's all pointing towards this idea that God knows everything about me and about you, and still loves us fully, even with some of the parts of ourselves that maybe we're still struggling with. Because God is personal, God is specific, God is intimate. And God doesn't require me or you to do anything for his love or to explain ourselves to him in any way. He loves us and accepts us as we are. And maybe some of us have experienced some of that as parents, maybe as children, families that we were in, perhaps if they were really good, loving families, or perhaps we've had that opportunity with our kids. I mean, if I think about our children, you know, I loved them before they did anything, you know. I loved them as soon as I knew that they existed, I loved them. And I can even think of moments before our kids existed where I loved them, which sounds like an odd thing to say, but little moments where there was an idea of them and I loved them before they were born, even before they were conceived. And God doesn't love a future version of you or me. He loves you now. He knows you now. And he can't love you any more or any less. And as one of my friends once said to me once, God's the only one who knows you fully and loves you fully, despite what he knows. That was a little bit difficult. I thought that was mildly funny. I thought that there might be just a little bit of levity there for a moment. So I'm going to try that again and just give you the permission with that. God's the only one who knows you fully and loves you fully, despite what he knows. That felt forced. I'm not going to lie, but that's good. You're with me, and that much I do appreciate. And I'm going to try very hard to try and stay serious, because last night my son and I went to see Troy Hawk at Bath Forum. Anybody know who Troy Hawk is? Yes. Did you go as well? Oh, so funny. If you can get to see him on this tour, he's brilliant. Anybody know who No, he's an English guy. And what he does is the funniest, most wonderful thing. You go and look him up on YouTube. He's wearing a purple smoking jacket and he stands outside of shops and other places and pretends he's a greeter. And everybody that comes in, he just gives them these wonderful compliments. So somebody will walk in and he'll go, good morning, madam, looking purposeful this morning and dynamic. Have at it. And then what happens is his members of the store come out and they'll say things to him like, who are you? Where are you from? And he pretends he's been sent from somewhere else. It makes a lot more sense if you see it. Some of you are looking at me very, very confused, but it's a very, very, very beautiful thing. And I'll tell you one of the things that was fun last night that he did in his show is he kept turning things on their head. So he has these interactions sometimes with people where people are aggressive towards him, and he finds these really fun and clever ways to turn it into something positive. It's almost like that kind of thing of just looking at things with love, which sits completely with what we're talking about this morning. And listen, I want to acknowledge in this moment this morning as well that what I'm saying to you this morning is simple, but it's not going to be detached from reality. I want to acknowledge that there may be many of you that feel perhaps tired this morning, or maybe in a place of life. Or you're really striving in some shape or form. Or perhaps there's even shame has crept in. Perhaps you feel like you're not enough. Perhaps you actually feel exhausted. Perhaps there's a part of you that recognizes in those quiet moments that actually you're trying to earn love or approval or attention. And God just wants to speak gently into your heart this morning again. And say, I see you. I know you. I love you. I've always loved you. I will always love you. And that love is clearly demonstrated in lots and lots of different ways. And I could spend ages talking about so many of them, but I'll try not to. In Romans 5:8, it says this. It says that God demonstrates his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The cross is proof of God's love for us, but it's not just a reminder of our sin. It's a symbol of God's unconditional love, that while we were still sinners, he moved first towards us, because God always moves towards the broken. You know, it says in Scripture that God is near the brokenhearted, whether we sometimes recognize that, feel it or not. He always moves towards us, not away from. Are you imagining today that God is moving away from you because of you? Because he isn't. He wants to move towards you and to know, for you to know that he's there. And if you doubt God's love, you can look at the cross and see it demonstrated. But you can see it demonstrated in lots of other ways as well. I was listening to some people talking this last week or so, and they were saying how nature is the first Bible, which I just thought was a wonderful phrase. You know, the created world, this idea that sun rises and falls, the rains fall on all of us, that God's provision is there for everybody. And the impact of being in nature, which I know is a weird thing to say in the middle of a city center. And I'm from here, so I know what it's like to live here as well. But sometimes we move into a place where nature is more present. There is a peace, there's a calm. Even scientists now are talking about the effects of, they call it forest bathing. You know, well, actually, if you go for 20 minutes and take a walk in a wood, what it does to your nervous system, to your body, to your brain, it's tangible. It's not just a pie in the sky thing. And I wonder for some of us if there's an invitation to become more reconnected to nature in some way. And again, maybe you're one of those people living in those high-rise flats and your experience of nature is going to be a few plants. And maybe you get to go to the park once a week for 5 minutes or something. You know, we're all in different spaces. But it can be something very precious, or having a pet. But there are so many other demonstrations as well of God's love for us. It's the fact that we have the Bible as a tool, a guide, something to enlighten and enliven us, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit which God offers to us. There's things too which may be more challenging, being disciplined in some way by God. I had a moment this last week where I had a temptation and I thought about it for about 5-10 minutes, and then by the grace of God managed to talk myself out of it. Where what happened is our car had been in an accident, and which wasn't our fault. Somebody else had just reversed into the front of it, and there was a certain amount of damage that was done, and then there was like another little bit which was kind of sort of there before, really, but it kind of made sense to say to the garage, can you do all of it at the same time? And then I had to go back to the lady and explain to her, you know, the cost of different things, and there was that little voice that said, oh, we could get all of this done at the same time, you know, it's probably being done on the insurance. Obviously you don't have this voice. Okay, none of you have this voice. This is just me. This is just me this morning. Okay, you're all very, very holy people, and that's fine. So I listened to it for a few minutes, and I was like, no, you know what? This is not the way to go. Because the other voice was gently saying, don't do that. That's not the way to go. You see, and we do get disciplined by God. God does say to us sometimes, no, go this way. And it's a demonstration of his love for us. This opportunity to be together this morning is another demonstration of God's love, to be church, to come together, to enjoy fellowship, worship together. God listening to us. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, the demonstration of God's love, that God listens. I know we often, in more charismatic style churches, want to really have that sense of God speaking. But God is the great listener also. You can go anytime and pour your heart out to God and tell him everything and everything that's going on about yourself, and know that that's all rooted in Psalm 139, that he knows, because he put everything together, and he knows your circumstance, and he knows your situation. And I wonder this morning, is there something perhaps that you might be reminded of or that you're being invited towards that is a demonstration of God's love for you, where he wants to just draw you closer to himself this morning? And again, I'm not saying any of this today to be twee. Life can be bitter, it can be hard, it can be troubling, it can be empty, it can be all these things and more, but God is always with us, and God is always offering himself to us. And I want to just touch on a few of the things that might be barriers for this, and this is not to bring any work into the room or any judgment into the room. But perhaps there's some gentle wandering that we could do together, because maybe we're struggling at this point in time to accept or experience God's love for us. Is it circumstances that are impacting upon us? Is it, if we're honest, perhaps there's a sense of performance and needing to do more? Is there a sense of shame? I'm not worthy. You know, if that's a narrative that you've heard throughout your life, directly or indirectly from other people, you know, never getting chosen or whatever it is, that can become very, very, very difficult. Is there disappointment? You know, moments in your life where you say, well, where was God, or why is God not doing this? Or is there a moment that you've come into where familiarity, they say familiarity breeds contempt, and it's, well, I've kind of heard all of these things before. When we were still leading church, one of the things I used to try to encourage people to do as much as you can was when we would come together in the morning and we were just trying to pray before the service kind of began or before we started doing the setup, is I remember saying to people, and guys, remember as well that today this is for you, that God loves you. Because even in service in church, which is a wonderful thing to do, and, you know, please continue to serve your church and serve one another, but you can move into that space where it becomes a headless thing and you're just going through the motions and everything can feel like it's just been said before. But love is received, it's not earned. And I talked earlier on about the more contemplative spiritual path. And on that more contemplative spiritual path, one of the things that we often talk about is slowing, finding ways to just slow a little, because as you slow, you can feel more, you can experience more, you can see more, you can become more aware. And you don't climb into God's love, you surrender into it, which is as mysterious as it sounds. And I wish I could just give you these are the 10 things you need to do. These are the 7 steps towards, these are the 3 things for X, Y, and Z. But I was reading recently where someone was talking about the spiritual life and moving on in God, and how it was almost this set of stories that people have told to other people that can say, here's this place and here's this land, but I can't really tell you how to get there. I can't really tell you how to navigate it. All I can tell you is that it is there and that you can experience it. In the same way, perhaps if I was trying to explain the ocean fully to somebody, it would be ridiculous. Because how could I ever explain the ocean? But I can tell you where it is, and I can tell you I've been in it, and I can tell you a bit about what it feels like to be there. So I wonder this morning, is there anything that might be hindering you from more fully accepting, experiencing God's love for you? And so what I'd love to do, just to draw things together, is to take a moment to pray, if I can. So I'd just love to invite you, just for a few moments, if you're comfortable to do this, you can do this sat down. I mean, if you want to stand up, you can, but you don't have to. But just to close your eyes where you are, just for a moment. And just to check in with yourself. How are you this morning? What's happening in your head today? What's the prevalent thoughts? How are you in your body this morning? And how are you in your heart, in your emotions? I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to just to come and just minister gently to people. And before I do that, I just want to say again, is there an invitation that God has for you this morning? Is there a place that His love is longing to reach into? Holy Spirit of God, I thank you so much that you are here, that you're always here, you're always present. Thank you for your unfailing love for all of these people. And I ask in Jesus' name that in this moment of stillness and quiet that they would hear your voice. Your loving voice. Speaking the grace that you have for them in this moment. Let's just take a few minutes just to be still, friends. And if you haven't done this before, and if it's a little uncomfortable, it'll only be a few minutes. You are deeply loved by God. Not because of what you do, but because of who He is. God's peace to you, friends. God's peace to you. Amen.